Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. There's so much going on in the world. COVID-19, the Fed lowering interest rates to zero, social distancing, sheltering in place. Today, we're going to be discussing one of the biggest questions our listeners have been pelting us with, and that's, what does the coronavirus mean for real estate investors? We'll talk about that and more today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real Estate Guys listeners, are you tired of losing real estate deals due to financing issues? Have you had enough of waiting on banks, lenders, and investor groups to fund new projects? What if there were a way to eliminate all the hassle and invest in real estate on your own terms? I'm here to tell you there is. Patrick Donahoe here from Paradigm Life. I'm an Investopedia top 100 most influential financial advisor, and I recently wrote a best-selling book about the financial strategy that changed my entire investment model and the one that could change yours. To get a copy of my book for free and learn how you can maximize your real estate portfolio by acting as your own bank, send an email to mybank@realestateguysradio.com. Don't make another real estate deal without reading my book first. Email mybank@realestateguysradio.com now to get your copy for free.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it's our co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You can't go anywhere without hearing about coronavirus and its effects. We first started talking about this pretty soon out the gate in January, and a lot of people have opinions. We're going to talk today about what we think the coronavirus means short-term, mid-term, and long-term for real estate investors today. Before we do that, the big picture on this is it doesn't matter what we think. All that matters at the end of the day is what you think. So today we'll give you some food for thought. As we say on Ask the Guys, we don't give advice. We give ideas and information. And because we are long in the tooth real estate investors, we've been through some of this stuff before. We've seen many different things in our long real estate investing career, so we have a perspective. Nothing makes us right. Right now, some of our very good friends and Summit faculty members have extremely polar opposite opinions and positions on this topic, which is why we can't wait to get together and talk about it with them, because they respectfully disagree. So even though you aren't an active member of today's conversation, just understand that your opinion counts. There are some people who are absolutely certain this will be the end of the world, and there's other people that think it's nothing more than a flu bug. There's three sides to the coin, Robert Kiyosaki teaches us. There's one side, the other side, and the edge. So we're going to do our best to stand on the edge and consider kind of all perspectives. And so that's how I want to set up the show. We're going to give you some thoughts and some of our thoughts, but nothing makes us right. At the end of the day, you have to do what's right for you and your family.
I think that when you really think about this issue, that you kind of need to segment it. So there's the health, the medical side of it, which we're clearly not experts on. There are people that are studying that are qualified to have a much better opinion. So we tend to look at things more through the economic side. There's also the political side. There's a lot of politics surrounding this, and some of it is legit policymaking, and some of it is some political grandstanding. And so there's some political correctness out there. There's a lot of people that are afraid to be a little bit more bold, if you will, in saying that, hey, I want to live my life. I don't want to let this take my whole life away from me. And so, you know, there's differences of opinion. It's a polarizing issue because of that. So we're really going to focus, I think, primarily on the economic issues. It's got macro concerns, it's got micro concerns. Obviously, you have to touch on some of those other things because there's decisions. When you're evaluating risk, which is really what this is all about, there's going to be things that are in your control and things that are outside of your control. Much of this is outside of our control, but even worse, it's outside of our understanding. And so we're hearing things and we don't know what to think. We're worried about things that might happen that we don't really understand how to even see coming. This has been called by a lot of people, at least from an economic perspective, a black swan. What is that? A black swan is something that nobody saw coming that has a profound impact on what's going on. Clearly, nobody saw this coming. You know, 120 days ago, this was a non-topic. All of a sudden, you've got major industries shut down, sporting events canceled. You've got stock market collapses that we haven't seen since some of the worst crashes in modern history. You've got a lot of people panicked, running out, stocking up on all kinds of things. And who knows if it's peaked or if it's going to get worse or if it's all going to blow over. There's a lot of things we don't know. So we're going to take a look at some of the things that we can see already, some of the things that we can kind of project we think might happen, and then think about how we as investors approach the uncertainty of the future and make decisions. Go, no go. How far do I go? When do I bail? That could be deals. And obviously, part of our business, we put on events. And so we're having to make decisions, just like a lot of people who are in the event business. And so there's that. And you may have decisions to make about whether you choose to attend an event, go out into society a little bit or not at all, or if you're just going to live like nothing's going on. And of course, all of those decisions at an individual level have a profound impact on the aggregate of what goes on in your regional economy, in the state economy, in the national economy, and in the global economy.
On our 2012 summit, Robert Kiyosaki gave a great talk. He entitled, Be the Fed. At first, when he said that, I thought he was going to do a talk on how to beat the Fed. But no. He said, Be the Fed. What does the Fed do? They print money. Kind of. And his whole thing was, listen, you're not going to change the Federal Reserve. What they do, you might be mad about it. You might not agree with it. You might think fractional reserve banking is a hoax. It doesn't matter because you're not going to make a change. So what you can do is decide how you will act. And if you study what the Fed's going to do, he can give you some clues on how to act. So come alongside what the Fed is doing, like it or not, and you can do better. And that advice, I think, was great advice. In this case, much about the coronavirus, you can't do anything about. It's out of your control. There are some things you can do, like limit your contact and not travel and wash your hands a lot. So we're proponents of doing whatever you think you need to do to be safe and keep your family safe. But big picture, we want to look at this pandemic and what the ramifications, the ripple effect might be, especially for real estate investors. So do your best to keep your personal opinion to yourself. Give you an example. You mentioned our events, Russ. We have a big event coming up. We have over 250 people coming. Or are they? Right now, this minute, as this podcast comes out, we're a couple of weeks away. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, out of 250 registrants, we've had almost a dozen cancellations. So based on those numbers, it's not the majority of people that feel that they shouldn't travel to the event. It's the minority. But for those people that have said, we're not coming, they only see it that way. We've had a couple people reach out and say, I can't believe you guys are even considering having this event. Well, that's taking your opinion and trying to convince the rest of the world that you're right. We're not going to do that today. And you shouldn't be doing that as you listen. Do your best to stand on the edge of the coin and consider the other viewpoint, because there's always another viewpoint.
Well, let's talk about that for just a little bit. You know, I mentioned the effects. So you got a group of people in a society that say, hey, I don't want to go out because I do not want to contribute to the spread of this virus. Okay. And that's totally legit. And if you have a lifestyle where you can afford to do that, where you have income coming, if you don't go out and you don't need to go to a job, great. Maybe you have enough resources at home, food, reserves, whatever it is you need, that you can literally hunker down for weeks at a time and never need to go out. On the flip side of your withdrawal from the local economy are people whose livelihoods depend on you coming in and spending some money. The people at the restaurants, the people in the shops and the stores. So we're not saying that if you're sick, you should go out and spread the disease. But think about the fact that when you withdraw your economic activity or even diminish your economic activity, it has a real-world human impact on the people on the other end of it who depend on that economic activity.
And Russ, you know who a big group of those very people that depend on that economic activity are? Our tenants. And we're going to talk today about your tenants and their reaction and educating them, because this is a big part of it. You know, you're in the know. You're listening to podcasts. You're following the news. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of tenants that don't speak English as their primary language. They spend a lot of time working in their day jobs to come up with the money it takes to put food on the table and pay their rent, and we're appreciative of that. Don't assume that every one of your tenants is as up to speed as you are. I'm sure most of you have gotten your inbox filled with messages from all kinds of people you do business with about what they're doing in light of the virus. I got a great one today from a local restaurant explaining they've taken some tables out, they're putting seating people further away, they've done a deep cleaning, and although they're all food and sanitation trained, they're taking extra effort every night, they're wiping down every service that anyone comes into contact with, they aren't putting out salt and pepper shakers. Instead, after each meal, they clear the table, they clean those things, and they only bring them by request. So there's things they're doing. You've probably received the same things from the cruise lines and the hotels and on and on and on. So that's their reaction. Your tenants are receiving this information or other information, and they're going to have to make decisions. And one of the economic realities, imagine you have a tenant that works at a major league sports complex. All of a sudden, they're out of jobs. Now, some of the owners are saying, well, we're going to cover, and some of the players are even saying, we're going to cover the wages, but it's probably not going to cover everybody. If that's your tenant and they can't pay, all of a sudden, that bleeds on to you.
Well, let's go back to the restaurant example and all of these emails you're getting. I get them too. I think the reason we're getting a lot of them is, yes, people want to say, hey, we're doing our part. There's the publicity, the PR, the public relations, the political correctness, if you will. Hey, we're team players. We're part of society. We want to help. The other thing they're saying is, hey, please come do business with us. It's safe. We've done everything we can to make it safe, because if you don't do business with us, we're going to go out of business. And if we go out of business, A, we're not going to be there for you later when you come out of your hiding. Number two is the people who work for us are going to get laid off. And to Robert's point, some of those may be your tenants, and then it's going to get on you directly. And the thing is, there's a health impact when people are homeless, when they can't afford to pay for health care. And so, yeah, the government is coming out and saying, hey, we understand that. So we're going to provide extended unemployment benefits, and we're going to expand welfare, and we're going to pay for free testing and free health care. Okay, that will maybe get people over a hump, over a crisis, but if entire industries are wiped out, if entire capital bases are destroyed, those things don't just grow back overnight. I mean, look at how much, whether you agree with them or not, the Trump administration has been trying to bring manufacturing back to the United States after decades of offshoring jobs. One of the things we're seeing in all of this is the impact of being dependent on another country's manufacturing, and in a crisis, they say, hey, we're going to take care of our people before we take care of yours. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We sent all that manufacturing over there, and we're supposed to have this symbiotic relationship, and you're cutting us off. Okay, yeah, so you're delving into politics. You may or may not agree, but the fact of the matter is, when certain parts of society go away temporarily, it has a lasting impact, and those things don't come back quickly. So there's a bigger picture here. Now, if the Federal Reserve and the government goes into the business of saying, hey, we're going to mitigate a depression by flooding the system with money, let's talk about that for just a minute so you can kind of understand what goes on. In an economy, you have a volume of money that is out there, the medium of exchange, the currency, if you will. It's a combination of currency and credit, and it flows. That's why they call it a currency, because it flows through the economy like electrical current. And the faster it goes is called velocity. And so the economic activity is a function of volume and velocity. When velocity goes down because people are withdrawing from society economically, and they don't mean to do it economically, they're doing it just to prevent the spread of the disease. So I get it. But what happens is they slow down the velocity of the economy. The Fed can't speed that up. All they can do is try to increase the volume and hope the volume compensates for the velocity. So there's going to be some whipsawing. We saw a bunch of money run from the stock market, which tanked, and that has an impact on people, especially retirees, and move into bonds, which drove interest rates way down, which created a huge opportunity for real estate investors to say this disease lasts in society a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, the crisis abates, and you've locked in 30-year mortgages at record lows. Okay, so there's opportunities for real estate investors to take advantage of in this marketplace. So some of that's going to happen. But the flip side of it, the Fed is going to print all this money, the government is going to go into all this debt, and it's going to change the underlying economic system, which is already frail, as we talked about in the Future of Money and Wealth a couple of years ago. We didn't know what the trigger would be, the catalyst, the black swan that would come along and reveal the weakness, but it's being revealed right now. And so as investors, we have to look at all this, not just talk about, hey, we need to figure out how to mitigate the health risks, but we also have to figure out how are we going to navigate the economic risks. And the flip side of all the chaos, of course, is opportunity. There's always opportunity on the other side of it, not just to make money, but to help, because making money is a byproduct of actually providing solutions in the marketplace.
We're talking about what the coronavirus means for real estate investors. We've got lots more ideas when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
When it comes to successful rental property investing, it pays to be picky. Pick the right markets, pick profitable properties, and pick great property management. That's easier said than done, but we've got great news. Jerry Kerr and his rockstar team at Mid-South Homebuyers are going strong in Memphis, Tennessee, and Little Rock, Arkansas, too. So for a top-notch turnkey single-family home rental property, whether you're a new investor or have a large portfolio already, pick Terry Kerr and Mid-South for a truly A-plus investing experience. To learn more, send an email to midsouth@realestateguysradio.com. That's midsouth@realestateguysradio.com.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad's advisor. Remember, equity happens, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. We're talking today about the crazy coronavirus and what it means for real estate investors. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go on this, but let's talk some practical ideas about real estate. We've had some listeners who have written in specifically, and we were looking at a couple of Ask the Guys questions that have come in because we've got another Ask the Guys show in the works. And really, it all boils down to them saying, what should we do? What are you guys doing? And what is this going to mean for real estate? So I think there's several things it's going to mean. And we talked earlier about there being short-term, kind of mid-term, and long-term effects. Short-term, there's obviously a demand shift for certain types of real estate. Most of our long-term month-to-month tenants aren't moving over the coronavirus. In fact, big picture is they're probably staying put. People who are thinking about making a move or moving up to another neighborhood or going to a new city, maybe put that on hold. So provided they have income, they're probably staying put. But again, with all the upheaval in the lower economic part of the curve, that's a challenge.
Well, I think one of the most important things, and you should do this all the time when you're doing your SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, you're doing your SWOT analysis over your portfolio. You need to look at each individual property and you have to ask yourself, ultimately, where does the money come from? Right? I've got tenants. Okay, it comes from the tenants. Where do the tenants work? What industries are they in? What is driving the local economy if you're renting to people in a local economy? You know, if you're in something like agriculture, that's a little bit different, right? Because you might own farmland in South America and sell blueberries or coffee or whatever it is. You might sell that to China. And so you have to ultimately understand that if the Chinese economy goes down and a bunch of your produce is being sold there, it's going to impact your business in South America as an investor. So ultimately, you just need to understand where the money is coming from and then trace it all the way back and 80-20 it, right? Because it comes from all over the place and you can't analyze every single thing. But if you have major chunks of money that is being supported by a specific demographic, a specific geographic, a specific industry or economy, and you have exposure there, then study that on the 80-20 principle. Study the 20% that's going to make the most difference in your portfolio and ask yourself, what's happening in that industry right now as a result of what's going on? What's likely to happen in that industry in the short term, in the midterm, in the long term? And then are there moves that you can make to either reduce your exposure, maybe refinance debt, bring your cost to due down, maybe tighten up some expenses to get in front of it? You know, you want to do that. Now, the challenge is if everybody's cutting back, that's part of how we go into recession. That's why most people think we're going to go into recession. If we cut way, way back and everybody withdraws, we're going to go into depression. And the question is does the Fed and the federal government, do they have enough firepower left after everything they've dealt with to really prevent that from happening? Or are we about to go through a gigantic economic reset? We were concerned about that before the coronavirus. We felt it was going to happen in our lifetimes. We just didn't know when. I'd make the argument, and I could be wrong, that this is probably going to accelerate it. At the same time, it's exposing a lot of the things that a lot of people have not been aware of. And people, I think, are going to begin to look at how to mitigate the risk. One of the big things I think is going to happen is people, mom and pop investors that have bought into the buy low, sell high, buy stocks early in life, sit on them throughout a lifetime, and then the equity in the stocks will be there for you in your old age. And they've seen 20% of their life savings wiped out in the last 2 weeks. And if you're in your 60s and this just happened to you, that's scary. And they're realizing, hey, there's a lot of air in those assets. It's not really what they said. I don't have that much income coming in. I was drawing down my capital base, but it was appreciating faster than I was drawing it down. Today, that's not the case. Now, all of a sudden, boring, stable real estate looks better. Because if you go up to a stock investor and you say, hey, let me ask you a question. How's your portfolio doing? You're probably going to get, wow, I'm down 10, 15, 20%. Well, let me ask you another question. Do you rent or do you own? Well, I own. Do you have a mortgage? Yeah. Has your mortgage payment gone down 20%? Well, no. Well, you know, the person on the other end of that mortgage income hasn't gone down either. And if they say they rent, has your rent gone down 20%? Well, no. Well, you know what? That means your landlord's income hasn't gone down 20%. Here's the point. Real estate is boring, but it's stable. And what happens historically when we have these types of disruptions in the paper asset markets, Main Street mom and pop investors, not the uber affluent, not the gamblers, the day traders, the people in the casinos in Wall Street, not the institutional folks, mom and pop, the millionaire next door, they look around and they're like, you know what? I'm going to go back home to real estate. I'm going to stick with real estate, but they don't know how to do it. And they don't really want to do it. That's why they're in these other places. And that's where there's a huge opportunity for syndicators. We've been preaching this song for a long time, but we just think it's just gotten that much better.
You know, another niche, student housing. Well, where does the money come from? Mom and dad. Well, yeah. And why do mom and dad want the son or daughter to be near the university? Well, that's how it works. And what happens when a college campus closes? Well, look at what U-Haul did. U-Haul came out and said, we will give a month free storage to any college student who has been displaced because of the coronavirus. Well, that assumes that that college student is going to be leaving their apartment and going home with mom and dad. Okay, so one, if you're the person who houses college students and they aren't paying the rent, that's a problem. Maybe they are paying the rent, not as much of a problem. If U-Haul is giving out free storage and I own the storage unit next door, well, that could be a problem, right? So there's all these ripples, and we're not exhaustively going to go through student housing because there's a bunch of other things. The point is we have so many different real estate niches, and what we're urging you to do, and I think it's a great idea, Russ, is to just go through that SWOT analysis. What are the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and threats? We have some resort real estate, and our resort real estate is feeling a little bit of the crunch because reservations are down. Cancellations are up. But one of the things we did with this particular holding is to not put any debt on it. And so our risk is lower income, but we're not at risk of losing the property. So again, when we go through times like this, it is a lesson in why we preach diversity. Diversity of income, diversity of markets, diversity of product type. Yeah, get rich in a niche, but make sure you choose wisely. Think about residential assisted living. We've talked about that model for a long time on this show. Would you rather live as a senior in a residential assisted home with 10 other people, or would you rather live in a residential assisted living facility with 300 people right now? Those are different risk parameters. So short term, there's going to be maybe some disruption. Midterm, that's a niche that's going to do okay. And long term, well, the silver tsunami is coming. So I don't think that we're going to see a change in seniors needing to have assistance in their care long term. But short term, like every other industry, there could be some disruption.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it just goes back to looking at what's going on and trying to decide what is a permanent change and what is a temporary change. And I gave the earlier example, and, you know, I honestly took a little criticism for it because people are like, well, how can you talk about mortgages at a time like this? Well, here's the reality is 10 years from now, this crisis, the coronavirus crisis, probably is just going to be in the history books. It's going to be something that happened, like 2008 is something that happened.
Y2K was something that happened.
Right. The world is going to change a little bit. But the long-term consequences is what we're looking at. The long-term consequences are there's still going to be people out there. They're still going to want to get together. They're still going to need to eat. They're still going to need a roof over their head. They're still going to need medical care. And we're also, as I think, as a country, learning it may end up becoming an even greater unifier for bringing manufacturing jobs, good middle-class jobs, great jobs for tenants back to the United States. We'll see. We don't know if that's going to happen. That's a trend that we'd been watching anyway. But now we think there's probably a little bit more support for it because some of the weaknesses in our current setup have been exposed. We think that, you know, as I mentioned, there's going to be potentially a move of more people wanting to get into real estate to get out of Wall Street. That's something we think that they should have been doing a long time ago. And we've been trying to help that process. But we think that that'll pick up. The point is that if you fixate on only one gauge or only one metric or only one indicator of what risk is or what's going on in the world, and right now all eyes are fixated on the coronavirus, you may be missing some other things. Give you another quick example. Silver. Now, you know, we're the real estate guys, we're not the precious metals guys, but we like real assets. And when it comes to savings, we like saving metal better than we like saving paper. And so we won't go into all that. We've done previous shows on that. But I pay attention to gold and I pay attention to silver because there's a ratio between the two, which is really interesting. But gold is kind of a proxy or a gauge for what's going on with the dollar. And you could see like Bitcoin fell 50% in one day, whereas gold remained pretty stable. Stocks were collapsing, but gold stayed pretty stable. And so if you think, well, how I want to put some stability in my portfolio, you know, the best way to look around is how do different assets respond in difficult times, in erratic times? Well, both real estate and gold have responded as very stabilizing factors in a portfolio. People who don't think the way we do, who don't listen to this show, are starting to realize that. So silver just dropped to like $14.75, just under $15. Its all-time high is over $50, and it's been there twice. Gold is about $15.50, down from, you know, maybe the high 16s, but its all-time high is $1,900. Okay, so you could see just based on the delta from all-time high to where it is today that silver has fallen much, much, much further.
Right.
So one of the ways to look at silver and gold and the ratio between the two is what's called the gold-silver ratio. You look at how many ounces of silver it takes to purchase an ounce of gold, and right now it takes 104 ounces. That's largely unheard of, which means either gold is grossly overpriced or silver is dirt cheap.
Right. That's a higher number than ever. The more silver it takes to buy 1 ounce of gold, the ratio over time fluctuates. It's been 60, it's been 50, it's been 80.
It's been as low as 15.
Yeah. And so
and 30.
That would say comparatively, silver's a good buy right now.
Silver's a good buy right now. You could make that argument. Now, we don't believe in buying silver for the sake of, you know, trading it back in for dollars later. I mean, that's a whole different discussion, the strategy of why you use metal and what you use it for. But here's the point. Silver could triple and not be at its all-time high. That's one thing. The second thing is, if you visit silver dealers' websites, they're apologizing for being out of stock. Okay, now that's interesting. So the U.S. Mint is selling enormous, gigantic amounts of U.S. Silver Eagles right now, and yet the price is falling. And you say, well, I don't understand. How can there be record sales? How can people be out of inventory and yet have the price fall? And that's because in the world of silver and precious metals, there is people who trade in the paper, and there's people who trade in the metal. So what's happening right now is a divergence. You have the people who are trading in the paper selling, pushing the price down, and people who are actually taking physical possession for whatever reason is going up. Okay, that's extremely interesting. So as an investor, you have to look at these different things and say, okay, what's really going on? Main Street USA is looking to find some stability in silver, whereas the people who are gambling in the Wall Street casinos with leverage are finding themselves on the wrong end of margin calls, and they're liquidating everything that they possibly can. Here's what happens when the economy slows down, when these asset price crashes occur, things go on sale. Now, some things go on sale because they were worthless to start with, and you don't want to pick those up. But some things go on sale because they have great value, but people have to sell them because they're throwing the good out with the bad. And so we saw it happen in 2008. Real estate prices collapsed. Now, some condo projects were bad buys because they didn't have enough money, and you could buy a cheap condo, but you inherited a big financial problem. But there were a lot of single-family homes out there that you could buy dirt cheap that turned out to be great buys. There's going to be those kind of opportunities in the season in the economy, economic cycle that we're about to go through.
We'll talk about opportunities when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from August 14th to 17th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 15 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2019 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is already on track to beat it. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize when it comes to real estate investing, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me August 14th to 17th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market's interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Events, where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trip. Once you're registered, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize, August 14th through 17th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under Events, and I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hey, it's Kyle Wilson, Jim Rohn's 18-year business partner, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show. Thanks for tuning into the program. tell a friend about the Real Estate Guys. We're actually expecting there to be more listeners as people are sequestered at home and need something to do. Well, listen to lots of episodes of the Real Estate Guys. We're talking today about the real estate effects of the pandemic and what you can do about that, especially how you can think about it moving forward. Before we get back to that discussion, it's time to play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. As soon as you hear the question and know the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Give us your guess, your name, and your mailing address, because if you win, we're going to give you a great book called Don't Quit, Stories of Persistence, Courage, and Faith, put together by our good friend Kyle Wilson. Seems like an appropriate book to give away given this topic. That could be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, we had John Assaraf on the program, and we asked this: which country has the highest average IQ? Well, according to the most recent data, Singapore and Hong Kong are tied for having the highest IQ. Their average score in 2019, 108. South Korea has the second highest IQ average of 106, followed by Japan and China, tied at 105. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. We're talking about the coronavirus, and a big shout out to all the healthcare professionals, all the fire and police, and everybody that's helping out in this time of need. Our trivia question is, where was Florence Nightingale born? You think about Florence Nightingale and the message there, and she was born in a place, and that's real estate. So where in the world was Florence Nightingale born? If you know or just want to guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, mailing address, and answer to the question. First person that gets it right wins Don't Quit, Stories of Persistence, Courage, and Faith. That's today's real estate trivia question. You know, we talked about the opportunities that will be created. One of the questions we had specifically that came in for Ask the Guys, I think we'll address now, is, and I'm paraphrasing, hey, I'm in escrow to buy a property right now. What should I do? Well, again, we can't tell you what you should do, but depending on the property, just know there might be a temporary or even longer term disruption of income based on what's going on.
Well, I mean, it really depends on what you're buying it for. So let's just take a look at a situation. If you're buying a home to live in and you need a home to live in, you have an opportunity to lock in a great mortgage for the long term. And you really don't care what the price is next week, next month, or a year from now, or 2 years from now. You care what the price is somewhere down the road when you decide to liquidate the house and move on to the next house. If you decide to ever do that, you may decide to keep it as a rental. I don't know. You have to look at what's going on in the neighborhood and decide if that neighborhood is going to go into depression and be negatively affected by a tough economic time, or if it's supported largely by industry and is the type of property and geography that would be more resilient. You have to look at your own situation. How are you going to make the mortgage payment? If you're going to rent it out, who's the tenant? Where do they work? How durable is that? If it's you, how's your job? How's your business? What is your ability to respond? And so you are going to have to make a decision without really knowing. And you're going to have to just kind of do, well, what's all the worst thing that could happen? What's all the best thing that could happen? What are the probabilities? And kind of on a weighted scale, take a calculated risk. And this goes back to what we mentioned at the very top of the show. You know, whether you are choosing to travel or not travel, go to work or not go to work, go to the grocery store or not go to the grocery store, shake hands, not shake hands, on and on and on and on and on, whatever you're deciding to do, every single one of those every day is a calculated risk. Now, we were doing that way before coronavirus ever hit. We were taking calculated risks as investors and in our daily lives. The difference is we weren't so focused on it. We weren't thinking about it because most of the risks that we had, we were familiar with, we understood, and we just inherently or innately accepted them, often without even giving it much thought. One of the things we talk about when we deal with investors and syndicators, the importance of raising to your conscious awareness the discipline of doing those SWOT analysis. I mean, I was cruising through life thinking everything was great in 2008 and didn't do the SWOT analysis and got wiped out when the credit market black swan hit through the subprime mortgage crisis. And that's where I learned to be the way I am. With all that said, you know, I'm not completely personally hunkered down. So I think that if you're in a position where you've got a good, solid base of liquid assets, you've got a diverse or pretty reliable source of income, you are in a community that is largely healthy and strong and economically and physically, that you're not around a bunch of high risk anything, and I'm not just talking specific coronavirus, but anything, then I think, you know, you're going to want to try to do business as usual to the extent that you can. Just be aware of what's going on. Conversely, if you're in a situation where you're in a very high-risk environment, dealing with a high-risk demographic, and you're in a very unstable personal situation, you don't have any cash reserves, your income is tenuous, well, then I'm going to be uber cautious about what I choose to do, because my first priority is to lay a base of safety to operate on before I go out into the outer, what I call the outer rings of risk. So we don't have an answer for anybody in their own particular situation, but it's a lot bigger than, is the economy going to go up or down, or is the price going to go up or down, or is interest rates going to go up or down? Is this pandemic going to spread, or is it not going to spread? All those things are things that are going to happen, none of which you can control. You have to look at the things that are unique in your situation and say, how much of the unknown can I control, or am I prepared for based on what I can control, and then make a good decision based on that.
Yeah, you got to make sure your margins are strong too. If you're looking at a, I don't know, apartment building or even a single family home, and when you run the numbers, it's just kind of a thin margin between rent and outgoing expenses like the mortgage. Well, then I would take a strong look at your demographics. If all of your tenants are working in retail businesses, well, that might be a challenge. If they all work at Amazon, maybe that'll be a winner. Who knows? I mean, there are winners and losers in this thing. And again, short-term, mid-term, and long-term. So you just have to look at that stuff. I would say in the grand scheme of things, most of us will be happier 10 years from now that we bought real estate than that we didn't. It's hard in real estate to time the market. So one other philosophy today is, should I wait for bargains? Well, we've been talking about this a long time as the real estate markets are running up. It's always good to have a little dry powder. There may be opportunity. There were folks freaking out the first 3 days of the stock market diving down, and there were other people buying up stocks. And then all of a sudden it bounced back on a day and people are like, wow, great. Well, if you're a stock trader, you know how to, you know, read all that stuff. Real estate is not about trading. Real estate is about buying and committing to and being in for the long haul. There are going to be these bumps and blips, but long term, real estate makes a great investment. We'll talk about another way to profit in real estate when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hungry for more real estate investing ideas? Here's two steps you can take today. First, go to realestateguysradio.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get access to a continuous feed of thought-provoking commentary specifically for real estate investors, while also focusing on broader picture economics. Then, once you're at our site, look for the Resources tab, where you'll find our amazing collection of special reports. Browse dozens of white papers, webinars, and market reports, and request the ones that appeal to you. What are you waiting for? Head to realestateguysradio.com to implement education for effective action.
If you want to learn how you could potentially increase your net worth by over $1 million and quit your job in just a few short years, listen closely for the next 60 seconds. This is Brad Sumrock, and over the past 16 years, I've helped thousands of people invest profitably in real estate, but not just any type of real estate. I specialize in helping people syndicate large apartment buildings so that they can be business owners and investors. In today's competitive environment, it's even more important than ever to leverage an experienced mentor, invest in your education, and have a team of advisors that has established relationships nationwide. And so many people right now seem to be struggling to find deals and then get them funded, but yet Sumrock students are thriving in today's marketplace. We've purchased nearly 7,000 units and nearly $500 million in purchase volume over the past 12 months. And with the new Trump tax laws, apartment investors are positioned now better than ever before to pay even less in taxes. To find out more, send an email to apartmentsnow@realestateguysradio.com and you'll get my recent presentation called Why Apartments Now. That's apartmentsnow@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Have fun. You'll learn something.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We're glad you're here today. And if you've made it this far, well, that means you've got a mind for real estate, because who wants to hear two guys talk about the coronavirus for an hour? But let's face it, this is something that faces every one of us as a human being. And we're here to talk about what the effect might be as a real estate investor. And Russ, earlier you talked about this idea of syndication, which we're big fans of. A lot of our listeners are just folks that like to own and acquire real estate, and that's awesome. We think one of the best opportunities in real estate is to aggregate capital, to put together money to go do bigger deals. That's really what real estate syndication is. So we're talking about how the coronavirus is affecting real estate. Let's talk about how it affects syndication. And there is a ripple there, right? When the stock market does what the stock market does in this kind of a situation, you mentioned people considering or fleeing to real estate, that can create quite an opportunity for real estate syndicators and passive investors in syndications.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned before the break the idea it's always a good idea to have some dry powder. When you're a syndicator, there's always dry powder.
Right.
It's just not yours. So, you know, if you have a big investor list, there's always going to be people in that list that have some liquidity. And when an opportunity presents itself, you go to that list and say, hey, I've got a great opportunity. I need X amount of dollars. And here's what it can do for you based on the plan. And if they say yes, you put the deal together and you make a little bit and they make a bunch because they put up the capital. But if you have enough of those deals going, all your little slices end up being a pretty good little slice. And you don't have to take inordinate risk. I think one of the other things is, too, is just understanding what real estate investing really is and learning how to communicate that in this market. There's a big opportunity right now. Most people who are in Wall Street have bought into the buy low, sell high mentality. They think they're going to buy a stock at a certain price and hold it for however long and sell it at a higher price. And they don't even think about the income. They don't think about the dividends. If they want that, they go to bonds. Well, if you've looked around, bond yields are like at ridiculous all-time lows and potentially getting worse. And so if you're an income investor, you don't really have anywhere to go on Wall Street that isn't about gambling. And so if you can go explain to somebody that true investing and true wealth, as Robert Kiyosaki says, is owning assets that put money in your pocket, it's not about buy low, sell high. It's about cash flow. And when you have that cash flow, how rich you are depends on how long you can live without needing to work for income. When you get to a point where you have all the income that you need, you're out of the rat race. When you have all the income that you need and you can live very nicely and you don't have to work, you're what I would be considering wealthy. Okay? So people are going to be looking for that right now because they're finding out that the promise of Wall Street isn't what they thought it would be. And Wall Street really doesn't have an answer for them. Even REITs are down because REITs are traded publicly, and anything traded publicly is highly volatile because the gamblers can get in there and put air into the price, and the values are set by comparative sampling. Whereas real estate, true real estate investing, is based on cap rates and incomes. And if you have real income coming in that's based on rents and mortgages, now you've got stability in your personal income, and there are going to be a lot of people looking for that. You can create it for yourself by creating it for other people. And that's what syndication is all about.
No investor left behind. A REIT is a real estate investment trust, a publicly traded stock generally, although there can be private REITs, that trades and has a portfolio of real estate behind it. It's a way to get some exposure to real estate in a portfolio, but at the end of the day, it's part of the public equity market. So we really like private placements. And there'll be opportunities in light of the coronavirus and beyond for you to find a group of investors that have had it up to here with the stock market and would rather invest in something tangible, in something real. Maybe they go out and buy a single family house and put a tenant in it, but there are so many other ways to invest in real estate if you have more capital. If you don't have the capital, you put the capital together. We do our Secrets of Successful Syndication training twice a year. Of course, up in the air, whether or not it's going to happen live or virtual or at all this time around. But you can be sure we'll find a way to bring that education to you, because it's critically important that people either have the opportunity to invest passively in these bigger deals Or, as many of our listeners have found, create an opportunity to be the person that brings all that together.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing to consider is, and not to sound Pollyanna, but, you know, the reality is the flip side of every crisis is opportunity. We talk about this all the time. When there's chaos in the marketplace, there's opportunities for cool heads and calm thinkers to step in, especially people that have been aware and been preparing in terms of having some liquidity, having some relationships, having some knowledge, having a team built. There's going to be people that are going to be needing work, obviously. That creates an opportunity to have more resources than normally you would have available to you. And of course, people are going to be selling things at discounts because they're panicking out of positions, or they're having to raise cash when they have other opportunities that are they're flat-footed in. And then a lot of the competition is not going to be playing because they're going to sit on the sidelines and take a wait-and-see approach. You know, candidly, we don't think that that's the way to go. We think that the opportunity is, when things kind of get crazy, is to double down and be active and be involved. And that starts with your education. That starts with understanding your options. That starts with getting plugged into a tribe of people that see things and are looking at things maybe that you don't see, or don't see them the way you see them. But there's a lot of opportunity in the marketplace right now. So yes, whether we do it live, which I'm not sure that that's looking so good at this point, but you know, we'll see, or whether we end up doing it virtually or find some other way. Thankfully, we live in a time in history when there's this fabulous technology and we can still connect with people in diverse places and share ideas. It's not as good as getting together. I mean, we're big proponents of getting together and networking in bars and hanging out together and building those relationships and getting to know each other as human beings. But right now, I mean, that's either completely prohibited or being frowned upon and being curtailed. So we don't know how that'll work. You know, we're going to always make that part of our business, but somehow, some way, the show will go on and we'll get the information out to folks.
Yeah.
So since this whole thing's up in the air right now, if you think you're interested in something we may end up doing virtually, just send an email to syndication@realestateguysradio.com. That's syndication@realestateguysradio.com. We'll put you on the interest list. And when we get ready to announce whatever it is we're going to do, you'll be among the first to know.
So hopefully today we've given you some food for thought when it comes to what actions you take. You likely have more questions than answers after today's show, but that's what this is the time to do, to really do some soul searching and make sure you're paying attention so you make the decisions that are right for you and your family. Next week, we'll delve into the Federal Reserve's latest moves and how lower interest rates and more QE will affect real estate. Until then, be safe, and we wish you continued luck in your real estate endeavors. Go out or stay home and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.